Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Celeste Headlee.
This is a special Monday morning.
Because we get bagels?
We have a co-host. We have a co-host. Celeste Headlee is the co-host of The Takeaway.
That's true.
It's not the lead story, but it's certainly a big story around here.
It's true that I will be here from now on.
Welcome.
Thank you
Welcome.
Very much.
Every morning. Here at 2 a.m.
That's right.
Actually.
Keeping you 2 a.m.
1 a.m., actually.
Really?
Get in here at midnight.
That's kind of different than what was in my contract.
We'll talk about all those details a little bit later on, but let's get started.
Well, I don't know if you're a channel surfer or not,
absolutely,
John.
Absolutely.
But you'd have to surf a lot yesterday to have avoided President Obama. He was on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, even Univision.
Well, if your channel is stuck on Fox, you missed him entirely.
That's actually true. You could have avoided him that way. But he was talking about a lot of things. He talked everything from Acorn to Afghanistan, but mostly he was talking about healthcare. And here to talk about his interviews and how he's doing and getting his healthcare plan across to the American public is Kathleen Hall Jamieson. She's the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Kathleen.
Thank you.
So we asked you earlier, he has seemed to be on the defensive with the healthcare plan in the past, and you're saying he's still there, from what you heard yesterday, still defending the healthcare plan.
He has to defend the healthcare plan because in the interview exchange format, someone is asking a question. If it's a reporter, the question is going to be tough. And as a result, it's going to look as if the response is defending. The question is, when was it defensive? And the answer is on the extended exchange on taxes with George Stephanopoulos, where the question is, if there's a required mandate, what's going to happen to people who think that they're paying more than they otherwise would, and that constitutes a tax if they're middle class?
Well, let's hear that extended question and answer for George Stephanopoulos.
You just decided, you know what, I want to take my chances. And then you get hit by a bus, and you and I have to pay for the emergency
room. That may be, but it's still a tax increase.
That's not true, George. It is absolutely not a tax increase. What it's saying is that we're not going to have other people carrying your burdens for you.
It may be fair. It may be good public policy.
No, but George, you can't just make up that language and decide that that's called a tax increase.
I don't think I'm making it up. Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Tax, a charge usually of money imposed by authority on persons or property for public purposes.
George, the fact that you looked up Merriam's dictionary indicates to me that you're stretching a little bit right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone to the dictionary to check on the definition.
So, the old dictionary trick.
So, Kathleen, how do you think that played in American homes listening to that exchange between the two of them?
Anytime you are able to say that constitutes a requirement that you pay something you weren't paying before and it's government offering the requirement, it's a reasonable question for people. Is this not a tax? The question is it a tax they want to pay, and do they consider that breaking Obama's promise from the campaign?
Why is this such a big deal that they go so far as to look up the definition of tax in the dictionary?
Because in politics, people contest language. They disagree about what things mean. Recall the ongoing debates about what constitutes a cut as opposed to a reduction in the rate of increase in Medicare over the last decade and a half. And as a result, because taxes are something very personal, they affect us directly. Anytime you can affix that label to something, it's a problem for a politician.
Well, coming away from all those appearances yesterday, do you feel like the president is making headway with his health care plan and his message to the American taxpayers?
Yes, I do, because he's able in an extended format to communicate first by his manner that he cares and that he believes there is a real problem here. The public agrees there's a problem, as well as do Republicans. That comes through. Secondly, he's able to offer one piece of statistical evidence that is important. The rate of increase of insurance costs last year was higher than people's increase in paychecks or the increase in what they paid for anything else. Inflation was actually dropping as health care costs were rising. If he can get people to see that their costs are spiraling out of their control and they will lose insurance if they have it as a result ultimately, then the argument shifts to his ground. He was trying to do that yesterday. He was trying to argue he's going to help the middle class, even as George Stephanopoulos was pressing to say, but isn't that going to cost the middle class something it might call taxation?
So you're saying he was successful in making the case that this isn't really a tax increase?
I'm not saying he was successful in making a case. He was successful in making the case that there's something that's valuable that's being purchased for what government is going to be spending. The question then becomes, do you believe that with the elimination of some things in some places, the recovery of money from the system, he's going to gain enough of it that the cost on the individual, the unsubsidized cost, because some will be subsidized,
right,
is not going to be onerous.
But Kathleen Hall Jamison, you're great at this, and it seems to me there are two channels working in an exchange like this. There's the explicit discussion of policy and the implicit sort of body language and vocal tension about whether you're on the defensive or not. What do you think speaks louder to voters out there watching?
The manner matters, and overall, in an extended interview, the manner will come across, I think, in Barack Obama as one that was deliberate, thoughtful, caring, particularly for those, of course, who are disposed to believe him to begin with. Those who are opposed are going to read it in exactly the opposite way, conniving and manipulative. But when a reporter is on the offensive, that is, offensive, maybe offensive to some as well, and the candidate or the president is responding, there's always going to be a sense that the president is defending. And as a result, the natural frame on it is going to be to say he was on the defensive, even if he was answering the questions well. In the tax exchange, I think the label taxation is going to stick.
Interesting.
So another important discussion when we're talking about language is last week the White House responded to Joe Wilson's "You Lie" outburst during the president's speech. White House says it has nothing to do with race. And here is Barack Obama talking on Meet the Press.
This week, you had former President Jimmy Carter saying most of this Republican opposition against you is motivated by racism. Do you agree with that?
No. Look, I said during the campaign, are there some people who still think through the prism of race when it comes to evaluating me and my candidacy? Absolutely. Sometimes they vote for me for that reason. Sometimes they vote against me for that reason. I'm sure that was true during the campaign. I'm sure that's true now.
Well, of course, Obama is famously well known for talking about race in a very effective way. Is he continuing that?
Yes, he is. And contrast the tone in that response to the tone in the taxation exchange that you just played. And the reason for saying that overall the interviews appear to be thoughtful and deliberative is that the second tone is more common to more of the interviews. Also, when you have an extended chance to listen to an individual talk with you, you have a better sense that you know the individual. And to the extent that this format is an effective one for President Obama, it is one in which people are able to say, I may disagree with him, but I am more likely to believe that he's sincere, non-extremist, and that I can trust that at least he believes he's doing the best thing for the country. That's communication functioning at a primal, nonverbal level.
Okay, Kathleen Hall Jamison. Also, you know, one more thing in which he seems to have changed his message was about Afghanistan. Here's President Obama explaining the current course of action there.
What we're going to do is continue to reassess, review what's taking place, and make sure that our strategy and resources fit together for the aim of making sure that Al-Qaeda is not able to attack the United States.
Is that the beginning of a backpedal there?
It's the beginning of a very strong act of reassurance, and it is the part of the argument that he has not yet decided about the troop increase, about a troop increase. It is also phrased elsewhere as the strategy needs to come before the resources. So one doesn't simply put more money, put more individuals in before one gets the strategy right. This is an instance of the candidate saying, I'm thinking this through. I'm not acting precipitously. If, to the extent that he is going to continue to engage in Afghanistan, that's the best rhetorical posture he can be in.
And that comes across as reassuring in your view?
I believe it comes across as reassuring and thoughtful, and particularly important for a candidate coming from a party that traditionally is not perceived as being as astute as the other party on military affairs until, of course, the last war.
Right. Well, Kathleen Hall Jamison, all these subjects are likely to come up on Letterman tonight. President Obama is the only guest, and I was reading somewhere that David Letterman believes that because he was so soft on Obama during the campaign, that he was responsible for his election in some sense. Who knows about that? But that signals that he may be tough on Obama tonight. Our question to listeners is, what are the top 10 things Barack Obama should not say under any circumstances on Letterman tonight? What do you think?
He shouldn't mention the word taxation in any way that makes it plausible that he's thinking about the idea. I think if asked the question, he should say that if we don't do something about our health insurance costs, they're going to go up faster than David Letterman's salary.
Nice line.
We also ought to remember something about David Letterman. In past elections, his interviews have been as tough as anything on network television. David Letterman is an extremely strong interviewer. And his interview with John McCain during the election, I think, did as much damage as his interview with Obama helped President Obama, then candidate Obama.
Great stuff.
Okay, Kathleen Hall Jamison is the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Always great, Kathleen. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Letterman uses that line. He might use that line.
He could.
He listens to the Takeaway.
We are asking our listeners, though, you, what would be the top 10 things you think President Obama should not say on David Letterman tonight? Tell us what you think at 8778-MY-TAKE. Send an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org, or you can tweet us through thetakeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.